This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Pope Francis is back home at the Vatican, and Americans are reflecting on his trip to Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. Before he left Philadelphia yesterday, the Pope addressed the issue of clergy sex abuse. Yesterday, the Pope met with a small group of people who had suffered sex abuse at the hands of priests, teachers, or people in their families. David O'Regan leads the Boston-Worcester chapter of SNAP, the survivors network of those abused by priests. He's disappointed by the Pope's handling of the issue.
He hasn't done the courageous thing, which is to take action and to remove complicit bishops who have allowed this to go on for such a long time. And that's where it needs to begin, defrocking, demoting, and holding bishops accountable.
That's David O'Regan. We spoke with Bishop Christopher Coyne of Burlington, Vermont. He's the incoming chair of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Communications Committee, and he coordinated media coverage of the Pope's visit to the U.S. We asked Bishop Coyne for his thoughts on the Pope's waiting until the end of his visit to America to address clergy sexual abuse survivors.
If you're really looking at it from a public relations point of view, people would have said, you know, if this is something important and something you want it done, since it'll be on people's minds, perhaps it'd be best to do it early in the day.
Did you advise him of that, by the way?
No, I wasn't at that level of decision making. This is something that was pretty much handled through the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, which was hosting the meeting for families. I think he really wanted to also tie it in with this fact that there is dysfunction in family and that there is abuse within families as well, not to deflect any kind of guilt or ownership away from the church, but also to recognize that this is something that needs to be addressed and dealt with in order to promote healthy families.
So now that you're back at your home in Burlington, Vermont, are you hearing from those members of the church who may have been abused within the church itself?
I'm not hearing from them personally, but I can understand why they're reacting the way they are. When someone is abused as a child in the way these people were, by trusted figures, by people of faith, it just destroys them. And, you know, many of the people who were abused by priests are still very angry, and they're still very hurt. And when they feel any kind of a slight or see any kind of a slight like this, it just exacerbates the situation, opens up a wound again.
I think that perhaps part of the reaction that we're hearing comes from the fact that this Pope does not shy away from controversy in general, and that he has dealt with, as you say, what is still a very painful issue for many people, in a way that does not seem consistent with the way he's dealing with many other issues. He was strong and he was direct in what he said. He said, "God weeps for the sexual abuse of children. I will commit to careful oversight to ensure that youth are protected and all responsible will be held accountable." So let's look at the next steps then. When we look for what's going to happen next and how these people, including in some cases bishops and other hierarchy in the church, will be held responsible for either perpetrating abuse or protecting the priests who perpetrated abuse, what is going to happen? Do you know?
Well, I can't say for sure what's going to happen, but I can talk about what has been happening. He has appointed a group of individuals made up of clergy and lay folk to develop a process for dealing specifically with just the points that you've raised. It's being chaired by Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston. They have a mandate to come up with recommendations to the Holy Father regarding how to handle allegations against the bishop, not only of abuse by a bishop, but also mishandling or covering up any kind of abuse by clergy or someone who's an agent of a diocese or church. We've seen recently in the United States that three bishops have resigned for similar reasons. Problem is, there's still a lot of details that need to be mapped out. What happens when a bishop resigns for these things? Does he continue to act as a bishop? What do we do with the situations in various countries around the world where the laws are different? Things along those lines. So he is moving forward. He is trying to put into place rules, procedures, and regulations to handle these situations so that bishops can be as accountable as priests. I stand completely behind it. I think that what goes on for the priests has to apply to us bishops, and we should be held accountable.
Do you expect Cardinal Bernard Law, who now lives under the auspices of the Vatican in Italy, will be held accountable?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Cardinal Law's retired. He's 83 years old at this point. You know, he's not out there in the mainstream. I don't have any kind of like a view down the road as to what's going to happen with him. Honestly, I can't imagine that they would go back and open up that case. I know there's closure. The victims will say there'll be closure in terms of finally seeking some justice for what as they see it. But I don't see that happening, really.
I think for some people it would go a long way if there was some kind of action taken against the cardinal, who seems to be under the protection of the Vatican now. But in terms of even the other people implicated, what do you think the Pope is waiting for? This is a man who acts on many things, and this case seems to be a part.
I don't know. I mean, he's careful about certain things that would require significant shifts within church discipline. For example, he's taking his time and looking at how we're going to handle marriage and annulment cases, and he's consulting with a lot of people. I think there's probably some pushback within the church around the world saying, how do you protect bishops and others in other countries where the government may be using allegations like this to perhaps frame or hurt the church? I mean, that's not out of the possibility. Those are the kinds of things that he hears. So when you're dealing with a worldwide kind of a situation with many different environments, many different countries, it's very difficult sometimes to set up procedures that will cover all situations as we know it.
Do you feel as though the Pope addressed this issue adequately during his trip here?
I do, in the sense that you will not hear a stronger statement than what he made on Sunday morning in terms of his grief, his forthrightness, and his commitment to making sure that this crime, this sin, does not occur within the church as much as humanly possible. And when it does, that it is handled civilly and canonically and dealt with forthrightly in a way that people can trust.
That is Burlington, Vermont Bishop Christopher Coyne.